Tell me, Brandon, what is this whole deal about? Relationships that honor God. Sounds nice. What are we talking about?
Relationships.
Okay, relationships. So, okay, we're talking about sex. Somebody said it. We did talk about that already. We're going to talk about it some more. Not so much today, but in the next, we're doing this. We got 7 talks in this series, or 6 talks or something like that. So kind of what's the heart behind this whole deal? Anybody? We talked about it, I guess it's 2 weeks ago. Last week we had a spring break kind of fun night. Anybody? What's the big idea? Why would we want to honor God with a relationship? Anybody? Yeah. What's that?
There's a cookies in heaven.
Any serious answers? I don't even know what he said. Something about cookies. I'm assuming he meant his computer, but I don't know. Maybe not. Anybody? Robin? I see a almost raised hand.
If we consider ourselves Christian, we want to honor God in all aspects of our life.
Yeah, it's pretty simple, hey? Because it's interesting that as Christians, we want to honor God. We want to, we want to come to youth, and we want to learn about God, and we want to, we want to do some of these things. But then when it comes to things like relationships, all of a sudden we're like, you know what? I think I want to kind of define the terms of what a relationship should be. And, it's interesting that we do that. And all of us, I'm not just so you know right off the bat, I'm not going to point my fingers at people or if I happen to look at you, it doesn't mean I'm talking about you. I'm just looking at people, right? So you guys are there and I'm up here, and unless I speak to it's just weird, right? So I'm going to look this way. So, one of the things you need to know is that I'm not after anything from you. This is kind of the preamble to every talk. I'm not looking to get anything from you. So we're going to look at the Bible and what God says about sex, love, relationships, all these kinds of things. And I'm not trying to get you to go a certain direction so that I somehow feel better about myself or I get a raise or I get a bonus or something. Nothing. I get nothing for this. Here's kind of why I want to do this series. Number one is I love teenagers. That's why I'm a youth pastor. I've been a youth pastor for almost 12 years. I love working with kids. I think you guys are awesome. I'm not scared of teenagers like lots of people are. It's weird, right? People are scared of teenagers. They see teenagers and they're like, walk further away. Or they see something happen, something bad, and it's like, oh, it must have been the kids that did it, right? It must have been those teenagers. So you guys get a bad rap, and it's not even, well, sometimes it's true, but not always. But I love teenagers, and I want to help teenagers. And one of the things that I can do is provide you guys with some truth. Because here's the second reason I want to do this series, is because our culture is, our culture is a little diluted. You guys notice that? I mean, if you sit down and you watch TV for a while and you look at some movies, and instead of just kind of getting into whatever is, if you just kind of pull back a little bit and see what they're trying to say and see what messages they're trying to preach, it's kind of interesting because, man, some of them are just really weird. And, I'm looking at, I wasn't going to actually bring this song up, but I was looking at a song called The Same Love. You guys know that song? This rapper, what's his name? Macklewood, yeah. McElvoy? McElvoy something. Macklemore! There's Macklemore. Okay, there we got it. I was looking at it like 20 minutes ago, and I couldn't remember the name. But it's interesting because what happens with our culture, and for whatever reason, I'm not even really sure, I'd have to investigate this a little bit more, but we seem to gobble stuff up, and these guys will say stuff, and then we just kind of assume that somehow they've researched it and that they're an expert on it. It's really weird. And we just kind of gobble it up, and then we use it for arguments. And we're like, well, when we investigate it and kind of trace it back to its roots about where that belief came from, you're like, oh, some dude sang it. And they're like, oh, really? That's it? And it's interesting because here's what's happening is that media plays an interesting part in our lives because media preaches to us. So sometimes it's it has an accompaniment like music. So like this dude with the same love, I mean he's not even really singing. It's sort of rapping, right? He's mostly just talking. So I'm like, I could be a rapper because I could do that. I talk. We could just do some music.
But can you rhyme?
I can rhyme all the time. There you go. I'm sublime. See, you just put that to music and I'm famous. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not saying he's not talented. He seems to be a talented musician because it is quite a catchy tune and it's up in the top already, right? So, but kind of the point is that these guys, they have this power over us that if they put it to a catchy tune, somehow we start singing it. And lots of times we haven't really investigated what it actually says. It sounds good, so we sing it. I do the same thing. And then once you kind of learn the lyrics, you're going like, what? Really? That's what that guy's saying? I'm like, oh, man. So anyway, I'm reading these lyrics in this guy, and he's got some really weird ideas. And he just kind of puts them out there, and there's no substance, right? He doesn't explain it. There's no research. He just kind of feels this way. And so he kind of pukes it out, and he puts it to music. And so then we gobble it up, which sounds really gross, right? Because he just puked it out. But anyway. But, you know, I'm just, yeah, you guys kind of catching my drift. There's, and then we watch some movies, right? And I do this too. I'm with you guys. I watch movies. And if you kind of sit back for a moment and just kind of say, okay, what is this movie trying to teach me? Because believe it or not, movies are not just stories, right? Movies have points, right? Movies have plots. Well, most of them. Some of them you're kind of like, what was the plot in that? I don't know. But most movies, especially good ones, have plots, right? So the whole point of having a plot is that you're telling a story for a purpose, right? Are you with me on that? You guys taking this stuff in English, right? The best stories have awesome purpose, right? They grab our emotions. They tug at our hearts. They're like, they're good, solid stories because they have a deep plot and a deep message. So they're another form of preaching, right? You often associate maybe just like some dude up here preaching, right? We often just associate preaching with religious stuff. That's not true. Preaching is happening all the time. And so those are just some, media is huge. So those are just some of the things. Then you got sitcoms, right? Tons. In fact, Karina and I were just looking at The Big Bang Theory and looking at clips to get Sheldon how his definition of love, because that's what we're talking about today. What is love? Yes. Hathaway. We were actually going to play it, and I'm like, then they'll just have that song in their heads the whole time, and so will I. I'll be just be like, all right, what is love? No. Anyway, sorry, too late. I just wrecked it. You guys were thinking about it anyway. And so here's the other thing that happens a lot, and with movies especially, music too. Music is continually giving you a definition of love. And again, it's just somebody's, the way they feel. It kind of all follows. There's this like, old song, you guys probably don't even know it. Love is, you guys, love is what you want it to be, right? You guys heard that before? Isn't that, like, we sing that, right? And I've after I thought about this song, I've been singing it and going like, oh, why am I singing this song? Like, how shallow is that? That's it? That's all love is? It's just whatever you want it to be? It's like, that's it? Wow. And I'm like, well, I could imagine a lot of things, but that's it. Like, I can imagine you guys could imagine a lot of things of what love is, and I'd be like, oh, okay. Right? We got some weird people out there, including me. You guys don't want me defining love, right? And so, and movies, they give us this picture of love, this sweeping picture. I like the sweeping, epic romance, right? Which they all have the exact same storyline with different actors and different situations, you know, right? There's two people, they meet or they see each other, they kind of are attracted to each other, and then usually the guy does something really dumb. Right? And then they hate each other. And they're mad at each other. Right? It's the same storyline every time. And then something happens in the movie, and then they fall in love, and they become a couple, and it's just a happy ending, usually, right? That seems to be the storyline of every single romantic comedy there is. They say some funny stuff, and they do some funny things. And usually the whole angst that's caused is because the guy lied. Right? Usually it's some lie the guy's trying to pull. So is that, you guys resonating with me? That's pretty much a storyline, right? Everyone. So, but here's the thing. What these movies are preaching and what they're showing us is a picture of love, and we gobble it up. And you know why they give us that picture of love? And you know why the music industry continually is defining and redefining love for us in really shallow ways. Do you know why? Because they want something from you, right? They want your money. They know what romantic comedies do to girls, right? Yeah. And they know that if the girl goes, who's going with the girl? The boys, right? Because the girls are going. And then the guys, you know, they pretend they don't like it, right? They go in there, romantic comedy. And then they're like, there's tears in their eyes. And they're like, oh, I don't know what's going on. Someone cut an onion in the movie theater, right? But they're, you know what? That's just the deal. So they're defining love for us, and they're not using words. They're using pictures. But it's still a sermon. It's still somebody preaching to us. So here's the question. What is love? How do we define love? Because here's an interesting thought. Because I asked this question 2 weeks ago. None of us could really define it. But we all, at some point, hear somebody or we will say this, I think I've fallen in love. Which is an interesting statement if we can't define what love is. How do you know that you've fallen in love? So if someone says that, what are they saying? Feedback.
Loving their faults and loving everything about them, not just the good things.
Okay, so everything they know so far, right? Usually when you fall in love, it's like pretty soon, right? It's not like 20 years down that you've known this person and you really know them inside and out, right? It's pretty at the start, right? But yeah, you overlook those things or maybe even like those things, right? Really? Have you ever fell off a cliff?
Yes, I have.
Was it like falling in love?
No.
Yeah, I've fallen off a cliff too. It wasn't at all the same. Sorry, I got to call you on that one. Austin. What? You got to explain yourself. I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, but what are, the question is, what do you think it means when people say I fell in love? Is that a weird statement if you think about it, isn't it? You fell into something. I don't think it was love, right? Okay, but seriously, you guys don't know what that means? You've never felt that or said that or thought that? What do you think it means? I'm not going to jump on you, I swear. I just want you to answer the question. Yeah. What does that mean? Like one, like what, merging bodies? All right. So when people are talking to you, okay, forget it, boys. You guys can't answer. Girls, work with me here. Okay. You and the girls are sitting, and there's like three or four of you, and you're talking about love and falling in love. What are you talking about?
That has never happened to me before.
Other girls. Are you guys just embarrassed or what? Yeah. You're talking about how you feel about them, right? Okay, are we on the same page? See why I excluded the boys? Football player and going, I guess, feelings. I feel pain, and I like it. Right? We're talking about feelings, right? When someone says they've fallen in love, it means that their feelings have overwhelmed them for somebody, right? Are you guys with me? You would agree with that? For the most part, there's these other parts that you guys mentioned, okay, partially. But what they're really saying is that emotionally I am overwhelmed with emotions for this person, which is a really weird way of saying it, right? Because that's not how you would express that at all. Okay. All right. So now, all of you have heard that statement, and I think would you agree with it? When you fall in love, is that what falling in love means? Anyone? No? Did somebody say no? Why not?
It's different for everyone.
What do you mean it's different for everyone? How do you know?
That's why people talk about it. They want to see the perspective from someone else's.
About?
Love, all in love.
So what it feels like for you and for me is...
compared to someone else.
Okay, so there's no, nothing the same there?
Well, it's the same. Well, because like, it's hard to define it as one thing because everyone has a different definition of it.
Oh, love is what you want it to be, right? There you go. Okay. Back to the start. All right. Okay. When people say that, let's just put it out there. That's what they mean. They mean that I'm emotionally like this person, right? That's what they're saying. So here's the problem. We use this word love in our English language a lot, and we use it for a lot of stuff. We have, like me, like I'll say to my daughter, whom I love deeply, I love you. And then I'll look over there and go like, oh, I love chips. Right? Is it? Am I talking about the same thing?
No.
So why would I use the same word? I'm overwhelmed with feelings for chips. Yeah. All right. So here's the difficulty with our language. We have this word love, and it's really generic. So it's really difficult for us to capture the biblical sense of love. When God says, for God so loved the world, it's tough for us to imagine what God's saying there, isn't it? Because when we say love, we immediately go to emotional love, don't we? Seriously, think about it. When you think of God loving the world, how do you think of him loving the world? Oh, yeah, this is exactly what I was thinking. It's like, oh, giving them a big hug, like the planet, which is weird because it's not even talking about the planet, it's talking about people, right? Maybe that's just a guy thing. It's like, let's hug the planet. No, maybe not. Maybe it's just you and me are weird. That's probably more like it. Right? So immediately you start thinking about emotional love. But is God talking about emotional love there? No. How do you know? Okay, yeah, you got me. That's true. You're seeing the direction of this talk already. Okay, it's true. Don't get me wrong. I think God does have emotional love for us, right? I think he does. I like to call it like. I think he likes us. Pretty sure, right? Right? Because it is. I would consider like the emotional aspect, right? But God, it said he so loved the world. So he just didn't love the world. He so loved the world. And what the Bible is getting at here is that God didn't love us because he's not feeling these nice, fuzzy, warm feelings. I have these nice, fuzzy, warm feelings so much. Right? That's not what he's talking about there. He's talking about choosing to love, and in our case, the unlovable. Because God so loved the world means he loves all the people in the world. All of us. And not all of us are very good, right? Some of us are pretty bad. But God puts us all in one bunch and says, I so love the world. That what? He so loved the world. And God just didn't say it, right? He didn't just say that. Yeah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So when we think of love, we need to think about God's love first. That's where we start. How does God love us? I think he has warm feelings about us. Don't get me wrong. But the problem with our culture is that the pinnacle of love is warm, fuzzy feelings. Just think about the celebrity lives, right? Their marriages last, like, short, if they get married. Right? They're switching partners. They're like, this person's dating this person. That's why we have all these magazines that can stay in business, is because these people think they're in love and they're just kind of, they're all over the place. And so they keep getting material to write on because these relationships keep breaking up. There you go. Bing. Right? Seriously. Every week there's somebody else is broken up and, you know, they're with somebody else and, yeah, and then they're dating someone new right away, right? And why do you think that is? Think about movies and music and the stuff we just talked about. What have they bought into? That love is primarily a feeling. But here's the deal. After a few months of falling in love with somebody, those feelings start to fade. Those fluttery little feelings that you get in your heart. I know all you girls have had those fluttery feelings, right? I know you have. And some of you boys are there too. Some of you haven't got there yet. That's okay, right? You've had those fluttery feelings happen. It's called attraction, right? And if the fluttery feelings turn into you just can't stop thinking about this person, it's called infatuation, right? We're going to hear actually in a couple of weeks why that is, that your brain's actually secreting chemicals that cause you to do that. It's not, so we associate that with love and emotions, and this person is amazing, but it's actually a scientifically, which I'm totally wrecking it for you guys, right? It's like some chemicals, like one of them's oxytocin, they call it the love drug. It's actually being secreted in your mind. The term for it is actually called warped judgment. That's what it causes. Right? So we talk about love is blind. Well, there's some truth there, right? It's also the reason why, and I've seen this happen almost to every girl, that at some point, their friends go like, this guy is wrong for you. Their parents are going like, this guy is wrong for you. Everyone's going, this guy is wrong for you. And the girl says, but you don't know them like I know them. And here's the problem. Oxytocin. Seriously. Sorry to burst your bubble. But it's giving you warped judgment. The people you trust and love are telling you that this person's not right for you. And you're pushing them away because you have this vision of this person that's actually skewed because of a chemical that's being released in your brain. Right? That's giving you warped judgment. So just so you know, I'm giving you guys, you, especially you girls, because you know this is in your bodies that this is happening. I'm just giving you a heads up, right? So when you get into a situation, and we're going to talk about this in the dating talk in a couple of weeks. One of the things that you need to understand is you need to have good friends who love you, and you need to be able to trust people like your parents who love you and care for you. Now, not all of us have parents that do that, right? But I think lots of us do. And so to trust them on those calls, I know it's hard because you're in the spot where you don't think your parents know anything. But at least the one thing they do know is they love you, right? And when they see something that's going to hurt you, they want to protect you, right? I got two girls, and I would do anything to protect them, anything, regardless of how warped their judgment might be. So then what is love? Okay, you guys are going to be in your small groups. I wanted to give you a little more time to talk about that. It's already like 20 after, so I got a motor. What is love? Okay, we've kind of got to the point where we have to acknowledge that if love is anything of depth, if there's any substance to love, it can't just be emotions. Because emotions come and go, right? The guy you liked last week, ladies, is not the guy you're probably going to like next week, especially if you don't do anything about it, right? You're going to like a different guy. Why is that? Well, maybe. But it's because our feelings change. And for you guys right now, your hormones are going nuts. Okay? They're just going crazy. And so you have to factor all these things in together. So what is love? We can't trust it as just a feeling because feelings can betray us. Because we can feel something that isn't true, right? We can. That's like huge. And that's really scary. We can feel one way and it not be true. I mean, how do you think that women stay in abusive marriages where the husbands like are horrible to them? We're going to, again, in 2 weeks, we have a video we're going to watch about that, why that happens. Because we get deluded, right? We have this picture of love that's not true. It's interesting. The Bible emphasizes love. Huge. This is a big, big deal. And this is why we're doing this talk. I don't want you to get deceived by our culture about what love is. Because they're preaching a message. They want your cash. They want you to buy the magazines. They want you to go to the movies. They want you to buy their music. Be careful is all I'm saying, right? And it's not that love isn't an emotion, but here's the thing in the Bible talks very little that of love being an emotion. Mostly, the Bible talks about love being a choice, which is really interesting. And any of us who've been married for any amount of time realize how true that is. That I love my wife right now. We've been married for 12 years. I love my wife way more now than it was even possible when I married her. But I had lots and lots of fluttery feelings when we got married, right? But man, after you've been through some hard times, after you've seen how sinful this person is, and she's seen how sinful you are, and how you sin against each other, and you're like, and you choose to love that person, the depth of love that comes from that is unbelievable. But our culture preaches that that's just, it's not even possible. And that isn't true. And take a look at the track record that our culture is preaching. It's like zero, right? I'm just telling you, like it's fake that these feelings of love and fluttery things don't last in any relationship. But what happens is when you make the choice to love somebody, and in the Hebrew, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I was like researching a lot on this so I could get the right definition. But ahava is one of a Hebrew, it's kind of the generic Hebrew term for love, not in the same way as our generic love, because ours is like hugely broad. This is a little more specific. The Bible uses it quite a bit. It talks about this kind of love being, this is, a compilation of some of the definitions, because they're all a little bit different. But this fierce commitment to loyalty is this idea of this act of the will. And one of the things that I read is that a lot of these Hebrew words, they're not just defined as this is what it is, but it's almost always also means some sort of action. And so that's how this whole idea of ahava is, that it's me and my wife and me going like, I'm here for the long haul. I'm not taking off. I'm not leaving. I'm going to be loyal. I'm choosing to love you. And it's interesting that God chooses to love us because we're not very lovable. I mean, just think what he had to do for us. I would have a hard time if I had to give up my son because everybody was being bad. I'd have a hard time loving people, choosing to love them, but God does. And the depth of his love is amazing. So I need to send you guys to small groups. We haven't even defined love, what love is yet, have we? Okay, in your small groups, you're going to go through 1 Corinthians 13. Now this is a description of what love looks like, okay? It's not a definition of what love is. It's what it looks like, okay? So you can go through it, and there's lots of questions about what love is, and the first question is define it. So I'm going to go through this really, really fast. This is how important love is in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus he's been talking to the religious leaders, and this is what happens. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, which I'm not going to explain who they are, just religious dudes, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So basically what Jesus is saying is that those two commandments, to love God and to love each other, in a nutshell, is the entire message of the Bible as far as what we need to do. You guys catching this? This is how important the love is. Okay, so how do we love God? I don't have time to go through my scriptures. I suppose. What does that even mean, though? Okay. Yeah, Caleb. To love him? What does it mean? How do you do that? What does it mean to love God? Jesus says this, right? If you love me, obey me. Now, is it simply just some outward following the rules? Is that what Jesus is talking about? Okay, so what is he talking about? Where does he want you to obey him from? your heart. He doesn't want you just to follow a bunch of rules and then go like, ha-ha, I'm good, right? He wants your love in the form of obedience, but more than just obeying the rules, he wants you to trust him. He wants you to give your life fully over to him, a radical commitment of loyalty. You guys catching what we already talked about? This is what he asks of us. This is what he wants from us. This is the type of love. So that when we come up into his word, we want to do it. Because we know that it's actually freedom. Because we trust him. So you kind of seeing how we love God? So we've already talked about a little bit about how God loves us, but there's a passage in Ephesians, that explains how Christ loves the church. And I'm going to read it to you, and then I'm going to send you to your small groups. This is what Ephesians chapter 5 says. Okay, it says, it's talking about husbands and wives and Christ in the church. And he's using the example of Christ in the church to explain husband and wives and how we should love each other and vice versa. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Interesting. Wish I had time to explain that a little bit. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. So this is what he's saying right here. For no one ever hated his own flesh. I kind of have to put that one out there. He's not talking about you disliking your body or parts of your body or parts of yourself going like, I don't like that about myself. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, in fact, that's the reason that you don't like parts of your body is because you love yourself. If you didn't love yourself, you wouldn't care about your parts of your body. You wouldn't care about anything about your body. You wouldn't feed it. You wouldn't take care of it. You wouldn't groom it. You wouldn't do anything, right? So he's saying the basis here is that we all love ourselves in this way, even if you have feelings of hatred towards yourself. You guys tracking with me on that? Okay. The reason you have feelings of hatred towards yourself, by the way, is because you love yourself too much. Okay. Yeah, this is hard because I need to explain that and I can't. So here it is. This is how Christ loves us. He nourishes us and cherishes us. What that means, to nourish, means to bring to maturity. Okay? That's what it means to do. So how did Jesus become mature? Well, in Luke chapter 2, this is what it says about Jesus. So Jesus grew in wisdom, which is mental, right? In stature, physical. So he's growing to maturity in all these ways. In favor with God, right? So you have relationship with God and with men. So in four ways, God matured. Jesus matured. And it was God actually nourishing him in these four ways. This is how God loves us. This is how Christ loves the church. He nourishes us in these four ways. You guys tracking with me? So he cares for us by nourishing us. He nourishes, and if we go back in that text, it's through actually one of the ways that he nourishes us is through the Bible. And then he says, and cherish. What does it mean to cherish? Well, to cherish means to care, specifically in this way, to protect. So he brings us to maturity in these four areas. And it's our job to work with him in those areas, right? He doesn't bring us to maturity with us kicking and screaming, going like, no, I don't want to grow in my relationship with God. Leave me alone, right? We got to work with him on it. And the picture, of course, is Jesus working with him on that. And that's how we find out, well, okay, how do I work with God in this whole thing? Well, we follow the life of Jesus. But here's the other thing, right? Remember, the law and the prophets hanging on these two things, love God and love one another, right? We need to love each other. Because we need to grow in this area too. Because if we don't grow, if we don't love others, we're missing it, right? The entire Bible summed up in these two things. If we can pursue these two things when it comes to love, then our understanding and our desire to do the right thing and our lives will line up with Christ. Okay. So that's That's a tough definition for you to remember, right? So let's go with this. What does it mean to love? To nourish, to cherish. So to grow in maturity and to care for / protect. That's how God loves us. Okay, I wish I could explain that a little bit more, but I should have made this into two talks, right? All right. Shoulda, woulda, coulda, didn't. Here's the theme of your small group stuff. I want you guys to discuss. What I'm doing right now is I'm putting it out there, okay? A lot of you guys hadn't heard this before. The biblical definition of love is not an emotion, right? Have we established that? So for some of you guys, that's brand new. You haven't ever thought of that before. Love's not an emotion, primarily. There is, you know, we're not going to discredit. I want to have nice, warm feelings about my wife, right? But they can't be the primary thing. They can't be the highest. Otherwise, the depth of my love is going to be just shallow. Because it's going to follow my feelings, and my feelings are all over the place. So in your small groups, you're going to talk about love. I want you to talk about it. Can I trust you guys to engage in your small groups and really kind of flesh this out? I think there's some good questions, but I think more the questions will be good if you guys engage with this whole idea of trying to figure what this love thing is. Does that sound good? Are you guys into that? Are you going to work with your leaders and go like, let's do this? Yeah? All right, let me pray for you then. Heavenly Father, thank you for these teenagers. Thank you that... that you gave us we don't have to buy into our culture's definition of love, and because we see the track record in it, so much pain, so much hurt, that we can buy into your definition of love, that we can, and we can actually be free to have real love, that we can experience a love that, if we're just following feelings, would be so shallow, but we can experience something so deep, a gift, a real gift that you've given us. Lord, help us to understand it, because it's hard. Our culture is continually preaching at us. Help us to understand what real love is. And Lord, just give us the ability to have a really great conversation tonight in our small groups. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.